excited to be with you guys today, even in this way, and love getting a chance to worship together. I can't wait for us to be back together next Sunday. But today, the passage I have to share with you is one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. And before we get to it, I know a lot of us out there, even though maybe your schedules are different than they used to be, a lot of us feel spread so thin. Like we're trying to grasp to be this and be that and do this and that and succeed at this. And we're so tired we do this other thing. We feel just spread. And at the same time, we also have this thought that weighs in on us, that we have some sort of unique purpose, something we were meant to be doing, something special to give, but we feel spread out way too thin to ever really give attention to that. And I know I feel like that a lot, and as I talk with you guys, I feel that same condition. It weighs it in on us, that we're grasping to be so many things, and yet we know we're not what we're meant to be. And the truth is, Jesus wants you to be full with other Christians. That together we can be full. And so it's not that you have to be all things to all people, but together, he wants us to be more than I think we've imagined that we could be. So I want to take you to the end of that prayer we started last week. And I split it into two chunks, even though it's normally just read all together. Because this idea I want to share is so big, I feel like it needed a whole week to itself. And so if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to be in verse 21 through 23. But last week we were praying this prayer with Paul for our eyes of our heart to be opened up, that we would know Jesus, that we would know the hope, that we would know the riches, and that we would know the power that we have because of him. And as he's describing that power, Paul talks about how that same power that rose Jesus from the dead, it's available to us. Most of us feel like, oh, if I just had a couple more hours, then I could get my stuff done. But the reality is, as we all know, everyone's schedule has changed at some point in the last couple months. And at some point, some stuff that used to take you a couple hours got taken off your plate. And my guess is all your problems didn't just fit. You didn't just, at the end of the day, think like, oh, I just had all the time I needed. The reality is, that's not the answer, just a little more time. But he's describing all this power that's available to us, and he's describing how amazing Jesus is. And that's where we pick up in verse 21, talking about how Jesus is at God's right hand. And in verse 21, he says, Jesus has been put far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. This idea that Jesus has more authority than any other being. Verse 22, and God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed him to be the head over everything. So God's will is that Jesus should be in charge. You're trying to figure out what's God's will for your life? That Jesus be in charge of you. But this next part is where it blows my mind. It says, the reason that God put everything in the entire universe underneath Jesus' authority, it says, for the church. And we've had a very strong lesson that the church is not our building. You know, obviously we realize that there's a whole bunch of things happening with us that have nothing to do with the building. We are the church together. And what this is saying is that Jesus, God's put everything in Jesus' authority for one purpose, for the church. And why? Why did he do that? Verse 23 is this incredible definition of what a church is. So here it is. What is a church? It says, which is Jesus' body, the fullness of Jesus, who fills everything in every way. I'll read that again, because there is so much going on in that verse. It says, the church, which is his body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Jesus is meant to fill every single thing, to make it come fully alive. And we are literally supposed to be His body. We're supposed to be the physical presence making that happen. Now, this thing is so big and wild that I think a lot of times we just think, like, that's strange, and we set it aside. And we think, Jesus, please help me get away from this addiction. Or Jesus, please help my family to be kind to each other. And we just settle for something that's kind of nice. But Jesus wants to fill everything in every way. I mean, that's a way bigger statement than any of us would make. And it's way bigger than we would say that, oh, for all the Christians in Independence, our role together is to be Jesus' fullness here in Independence. And by the way, that doesn't just mean that everyone is nice and that no one cusses. That means that every single part of life should be full because we're bringing fullness to it. Now, what does that mean? A couple of things. I was talking over this passage with Brian English earlier in the week, and his first takeaway was, well, if we're going to do anything with this, Jesus has to fill every part of me before I could ever start spreading this to other people, right? So that has been challenging to me this week. I mean, even as I'm riding my little bicycle into church this morning, I'm thinking about, like, Jesus, will you do this with me? Will you go on this ride with me? Can we have a conversation while it's happening? And it's not... it's like, I just am riding the bike, but can I be fully present and enjoy riding down these hills, enjoy seeing birds, enjoy getting somewhere? Can we just do what I'm doing right now? Can we do it together? And the reality is, if you start living all your life that way, like, God, this is where I'm at right now. I'm with my kids, or I'm cooking dinner, or I'm laying asphalt, whatever you're doing, imagine if it became, Jesus, would you do this with me? Jesus, would you fill this moment? This is all I have right now. All I have right now is this thing I'm doing. Would you fill it with me? And on that bike ride, for instance, as I was getting ready to go on the bike, I thought, well, I'm going to take a little different route because there's a neighbor of mine that I wanted to see. Somebody I've been praying for, and I just wanted to see if he would be there. So I just prayed for him, and I rode around the corner, and he happened to be outside, which I just felt like was like from Jesus, you know? So we had a little talk, you know, and I had the space for that. Because I was going on a ride with Jesus instead of just trying to get to church. Imagine if everything in your life was like that. If everything in your life was like, Jesus, would you do this with me? Would you make it full? Because the stuff that Jesus will start doing is like, Jesus understands everything you're doing better than you do. And He sees the goodness in it. If you're working hard, Jesus can show you what hard work is about. And that there's like a satisfaction. And that part of what we're meant to be as humans is workers. Like, that's a piece of how God made us. But Jesus can teach you about satisfaction in work and about good work. There's opportunities to do things with truth and honesty, no matter if you're selling something or wherever you work. And Jesus can show you about that, about like really serving other people, really leading through service, right? No matter what you have on your plate the rest of today, Jesus can be in it with you and He can bring fullness to it. Right? And so this what we read today, it's part of a prayer. And I think for us as a church, we need to be praying for, like, Jesus, fill every part of me and fill every part of us and show us how to fill things for other people. We don't have to slap a Christian bumper sticker on everything. We don't have to Christianize everything. We need to come into things and say, Jesus, what do you want to show me about this? How can you make this better? How can you make me working on this classic car? Or how can you make me making this banana bread? Or whatever stuff you're doing, how can you make it better with me? If you became that sort of person that wherever you went, you brought fullness to that scenario. We've met people like that. They're connected to Jesus. They're not in a hurry. They notice other people. They're loving. They seem to always have enough to share, even if they don't have a lot of money. You see, like, they're bringing fullness. Jesus is putting things into their life, and they're sharing. So, one other thing I want to talk to you about. I went and was praying about this earlier this week, and as I was thinking on this passage, I realized something I'm guilty of, I think we're also guilty of, a lot of us at Maywood, is we view people, even ourselves, as if we're kind of a one-thing person, right? So Daniel's really good at worship, or this or that person's good at teaching or at greeting, or this or that. This person's good at working on cars. We kind of pigeonhole people, even ourselves. I can do this one thing, and that's it. And I was outside in nature when I was reading this verse, and I was noticing a lot of birds and plants and different stuff. And I realized, like, when God makes things, they never have just, like, one individualized purpose. Like, the one purpose is what, like, people that want to make a profit, that's what they do when they come to stuff that God's made. You know, so the specific example I thought of, which I didn't realize we're going to have the TV screen and everything going today, I could have got pictures, but I brought you an actual apple. I was thinking about, you know, when people, we even call an apple tree, right? Because we see it as like a one-purpose thing. Like the apple tree exists to give us a snack. Like that's how we view it. And that's not terrible because apples are delicious, I think, and they're decently healthy for you. But I realized that's not this passage lived out. So I want to give you a little analogy with how this fullness could be lived out looking at an apple tree. So when you think about an apple tree, the way that God made it, it's an actual tree, provides shade. Any of you that have lived at any point in your life without air conditioning, I've done that sometimes in my life, shade is a game changer in the summertime if you don't have air conditioning. And so that tree is like a little shade machine. We don't normally think of that though, right? Because we've got air conditioning, we've got our own stuff to take care of ourselves. Earlier this week, Samuel, Sequoia, and Christy and I went out. We found a robin's nest that had these baby robins. And we thought they were baby robins. They were so full, they were like almost grown. So when we got up right to them, I had Sequoia on my shoulders and we're like just close to the nest. The baby bird like flew over our head, like scared everybody a little bit. Like Sequoia got like scared and stuff, you know, because we weren't expecting that. But there's this idea that like that apple tree becomes a home for animals, right? And these little moments with your family, like, was really special. Like, Chrissy was filming as all that happened, and her phone got full while it was happening, though. It's like that we lost that little one-minute video of, like, the whole family freaking out about this bird flying. And, like, Chrissy was really sad to lose that little video, right? And you just see that, like, yeah, a tree can provide something like that, too, right? Provides this little connection with nature, this little home for these little birds. Provides food for a lot of things. I don't know if you guys like to smoke meats, but if you've ever smoked meats with different types of wood, it can make a difference. Like, I've gotten to smoke stuff with apple wood before, and, like, it's different than just cooking, you know, random oak or something, you know? So, like, again, there's all these things you wouldn't expect that come out of that tree in its fullness, right? All these things, all these purposes it potentially has, but a normal person looking at it, they think, like, I want more apples, how do I get more apples, and that's all they do. If you take it even a little step further, I'm going to go just a little further, and we'll get off the apple kick. But if you guys know where that Quick Trip is on Noland and Lee Summit Road, every time I see that, I'm a little sad, because I remember, like, Stevenson's used to be there, like, that orchard when I was a kid, and they had, like, this amazing cider. Don't mess with the current Stevenson stuff you see. It's not any good. But I don't know where that stuff's coming from. But the old Stevenson cider was really great. But I remember as a little kid, I'd go there, and there'd be this beehive in the little tour they would take you in, this little beehive in a glass case that was pollinating all the apple trees. And it was this cool community. They had a restaurant, all this different stuff, right? And it all sprang up around these apples. So all that to be said, there's like a lot of possibilities of what could happen with just an apple, right? But it's pretty easy to pigeonhole it and think like, oh, I'm just gonna get the apples, that's the best part. I'm just gonna get as many of those as I can and I'm gonna ignore the rest. And what I want to challenge you with is, like, picture yourself as that apple tree and realize, like, God probably has more than one purpose for you. God's probably put some good things in you, and you need to look at yourself as more than just, like, a production machine. Just how many apples can I crank out? How many paychecks can I get? Or how much stuff can I do? Think about, like, what is my full purpose? And the reality is, you're not going to find your full purpose by yourself. Things that God makes, they're meant to be together. In fact, if you try to take something out of nature and put it totally by itself, it typically can't thrive or even survive. Things are meant to be with other things. So here's kind of my challenge for you as we're ending up the sermon today. Think to yourself, think about, We're worried about the back of the room. So here's the challenge for today. Do something that you love. Maybe it's riding a bicycle, maybe it's baking something, maybe it's working on something, maybe it's fixing something for somebody else, maybe it's playing on like a slip and slide. I don't know what it is. Like, do something that you love to do, but invite Jesus to do it with you. Okay? That's step number one. Even better step, if you can pull it off with all the corona stuff going on, do stuff like that with other Christians. Say, hey, I made this thing and I want to share it with you. Or, I love doing this thing, can I do it for you? Or, even if it's not for other Christians, maybe something you love to do, you share it with somebody in need. Talked to multiple Maywood people this week who something deep inside of them have motivated them to go help somebody in need in really thoughtful ways. Right? They shared a piece of themselves with somebody in need. That's when Jesus' fullness is getting there. It's not just like, how many apples can I throw at somebody who's hungry? It's like, how do I share a piece of me with somebody who needs a little bit of Jesus? Right? And when we start doing that together, when we start saying, like, I've been made by Jesus, and he wants to fill me, and he wants to fill other people around me, and then when we start doing that together, we look like Jesus to independence. And that's what Maywood is all about. If you know our vision passages really well, that Ephesians 4 passage, it ends, the whole kind of crescendo of it is that we would be Jesus' fullness. Well, that comes from Ephesians chapter 4. That comes to people who have just heard this definition of Jesus' fullness.